Hello and welcome to Wise Women, The Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experience of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything. Hello and welcome. This is the show with the mythical cake.
It's so unfair.
It's our birthday. 52 episodes, one full solar return. So if you've been with us on this journey, thank you so, so much. Because, well, without you, we wouldn't have continued doing it. So bless you and thank you. And as we can't meet yet, we don't have a cake. And I haven't actually made a cake for me to eat either. Have you got a cake for you to eat?
No, it didn't occur to me until you said it. Oh.
There will be, there's so many people are saying the celebrations, the cakes, the this, whatever we're going to do when lockdown ends.
Oh, do you know what? We, as I said last time, we come out of lockdown on the summer solstice.
Yes.
And it suddenly, I had this surge of joy.
Yes.
At the thought of all the parties that there are going to be on solstice. There probably won't have been so many parties on this island at solstice for a, you know, few thousand years. Oh, just heaven.
I might stay home that night. Well, what a change.
Yeah.
But I have found more and more how more special the simple things are.
Yeah.
The fact that I can't go shopping. Not that I did go shopping much because I reacted against it when I left TV because I had to have new outfits and all that all the time. And I was saying to my mother yesterday and thinking how times have changed because she used to be really rude about my grandmother because she didn't wear a bra or she didn't have a proper bra because, of course, mother had a Playtex crossier bra, heart bra,
right,
because she was young in the 50s. That's what you did then.
Yeah.
And you look like Madonna did with two cones on her front. You can see them in the movies still. And she was always very dismissive about that. But this last year, I've really become a braless fanatic. And I know that bras aren't good for you anyway, but I had a really good conversation with Mother yesterday and she's sent off for some simple pull over your top little vestings, camisole-y type things herself. And just that, you were saying last time how lockdown may have changed us for better. And little things like changing our aspects of what should be done, the things that tie up women in particular, perhaps, you know, and there's been I desperately need a haircut. Well, I think I desperately need a haircut. And a couple of people on the internet said, well, just cut it yourself. And part of me said, I can't do that. I can do the fringe, but I can't do the back. And then somebody else came along very simply said, lean forward, take it in a ponytail, tie it in the ponytail, make quite sure that you've got your head pointing to the down, twist the ponytail, cut straight across the bottom. It'll make a great haircut. And I'm going to try it. And I would never have done that in my life before.
Cool, I'm going to try it too.
Yeah, in a funny kind of way, I'm quite excited. Now, if you had said to me at any point in my life, you're going to be quite excited at the thought of giving yourself a haircut, the look would not have been one that you wanted me to repeat.
Polite incredulity at the very best. Classic.
I spent £2 on a new top for the summer after they made the announcement that we were coming out.
We are allowed in our gardens, you realise?
Yes, I do. But I live on top of a hill on Dartmoor. The day it isn't windy, it's going to be a day marked by a white stone.
Yay. Okay, so we're cakeless.
We're cakeless.
How are we going to celebrate?
We're going to celebrate by my attempting to draw a medicine card again. After last time, and I'm going to do it, not live, because you're listening to a recording, but as we go. So I have to sit here with my medicine cards, because if you were listening earlier, you knew I pulled two blank ones when I tried to do this. Susie's been pulling the oracle cards all year. The first time I do it, I get two blank cards. So let's see what we can do. So what should we talk about today? Eagle.
Perspectives.
Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Eagle, the wide-ranging eye, number one in the medicine cards. I've never pulled eagle before.
Ooh.
So that's lovely. Eagle, number one, eagle. And it wasn't even contrary, it was upright. Ego medicine is the power of the Great Spirit, the connection to the divine, the ability to live in the realm of spirit and yet remain connected and balanced within the realm of earth. Well, it's basic common sense. Wouldn't you say?
I would say, yes.
Yes. And feathers of the eagle are considered to be sacred healing tools. Do you have any eagle feathers?
Weirdly, I actually do have some eagle feathers. Ooh. I have two eagle feathers, which belong to my great-grandmother.
Wow.
They were, I think I remember this correctly. So she lived through the time of Garibaldi in Italy. She was half Italian, half English.
Wow.
And so the time when my Italian history is, to call it sketchy, is an overstatement of how much I know. I think that Garibaldi was a guy who led a thing which could be called a revolution, but I don't know if it ever was called a revolution.
Went through the streets going, it's a thing! It's a thing! It's a thing! Come and join us! It's a
patriarchy. No, I think he was like down with the monarchy and stuff. Yes. And I think Italy had what I guess would have been called a revolution, and they deposed their monarch, perhaps, and became a socialist-ish state.
And ended up with Mussolini.
And well, I guess they did end up with Mussolini, didn't they?
Yeah.
But anyway, I believe at that time there were two ways of kind of supporting this revolution. One was the wearing of a red scarf, and the other was the holding of two black feathers.
Ah.
And she had both. So I inherited a red silk scarf and two enormous black feathers, which for me have a relationship which has nothing to do with Garibaldi and everything to do with the sacred divine,
yes,
who for me her most potent personification is the Morrigan, who I'm constantly told by the spirits that she is, and I in my true essence, so not Susie Crockford ego snouty woman, but like the true in service part of my being is black and red. And so I find it extraordinary that from my great-grandmother I inherited these two black and red things, which are in support of equality for all, freedom for all, from a woman who was La Contessa di Maggiolini Scarampi.
Whoa, well, that's enough to celebrate 52 years just hearing that story.
Yay!
52 years, 52 days.
52 years,
weeks,
yeah, okay.
Weeks, not days, not
feels
months.
Like years, I get it.
Oh, that's beautiful. If you pulled this symbol, eagles reminding you to take heart and gather your courage, blah, 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 blah. But what I love about this bit is saying, it's only through the trial of experiencing the lows in life as well as the heights, and through the trial of trusting one's connection to the Great Spirit, that the right to use the essence of ego medicine is earned. And that takes me straight back to Stephen Jenkinson, the author of Die Wise, the Canadian mystic, who basically says the permission to do the job comes from doing the job.
Mm.
You earn your place in the world by doing the job, by showing up and doing the job, not by swanning around in the pretty robes.
We're back to dog collar or not to dog collar.
And oddly, also, it's even though the eagle is so grand, there's a humility in seeing the wider picture. And I have to fess up here. I've been doing an online course on astrology, which I was teaching for beginners, because that's the only one I'm qualified to teach, frankly. Mm-hmm. They now all want an intermediate course, and I'm going, oh, God, I don't know enough.
Oh, I believe you just said the only way to do the work is to get on and do the work, Maggie.
That was my point.
Yeah.
That's exactly my point. I'm stuffed now.
Yeah.
I have to do that other work. But also, what was so funny was, we've talked before about how important it is to say I don't know, and how important it is to get things wrong. And when I started teaching all those years ago, you know, there was always that ego edge thing about how, oh God, if I get it wrong, I got it so wrong on Monday.
Oh, great.
I was looking at Joe Biden's chart because I was teaching them to go around the houses at the chart and say, look at this, is this comfortable here? Is it aspected to something else? And I was getting it wrong on the history because you reminded me with the Garibaldi thing because you don't remember what happened when you weren't there.
Not clue, no.
But I know that Joe Biden's had bereavements in his life, and his chart is full of Scorpio 12th house stuff, and there's a Uranus connection on the descendant. And basically that means his life is going to be scarred by death.
Right.
Without a doubt. And by miracles and by unexpected relationships and changes. And I actually got his family history completely wrong. I thought it was his wife died of cancer and his son died in a car crash. When in fact, and the whole group erupted and corrected me. I said, no, it's that, and it's this, and it's that, and it's that, and his wife did that, and his son did that. And I also got something wrong about Donald Trump. We were looking at his chart and I thought that all his wives came from foreign countries. He's got Aquarius on the descendant, so he will marry an unusual partner.
Mm.
And they're, no, his second wife wasn't. And there was a part of me that was just so full of joy that I had students who were perfectly happy to go, no, you got it wrong, Maggie, without thinking less of the teacher. Do you know what I mean? They were still enjoying the course.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter that I had actually got that wrong.
And how great. It brings me back to that oft-repeated phrase here, follow the light and not the lantern. And let the lantern be as human as she's allowed to be.
Yeah.
As long as you know that what's coming through her as teachings is the real deal.
And what was wonderful about it, even more wonderful than the fact that I didn't mind, which was lovely for me, was the fact that the astrology that Joe Biden has fits story, the truth, so much better than my mistake. So they revealed to themselves
how well it works. So I'm intrigued and sitting on an edge, which I now need you to push me off one way or the other. Is it what's the kind of ethics in looking at people's charts who you presumably don't have Joe Biden's permission to look at his chart?
Public figure, president affects everybody.
Right.
So there is the president is, it's okay, but it's always been judged as dangerous. And that's why one of the reasons why astrology was forbidden. Two reasons why astrology is forbidden. One, because you can use it for magic, and people would, and people probably do. Get me on secondary sexual characteristics in a minute, because I'll forget. And it is actually illegal to look at the chart of a living monarch.
It's illegal?
It's illegal.
In British law?
Yes, in British law. Because of predicting their death, you see, predicting if there's an assassination attempt or something like that. Though, I've said before, Churchill used astrology because he knew Hitler was, not because he believed in it. So it's the old thing of do as I say, don't do as I do.
Right.
But I think there's absolute justification in looking at the ruler of the free world. I think it's a useful thing to know about his chart. And it helped me understand and love Donald Trump to look at his chart. Doesn't mean I like him, I don't like him, I think he's an objectionable human being. But the job is to love the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at his chart, I could go, whoa, this is an accruing of karma chart.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, this is not, you have not worked with this chart the way you were destined to do it. And I think I probably hacked them off a little bit too, because we were looking at the Princess of Wales's chart, Princess Diana. And there's a couple of ways you can look at it, but she was not. She was either intended to go out in a bad way, or she didn't do what she was meant to do.
Intended as in by humans? Or
no,
by
intended
gods?
As in her destiny.
Right.
But there was something very powerful in her chart. And I would just throw it up there just as a thought. I do not know this is true. It may not be true at all in any way, shape or form. But if you look at the pattern of somebody who never got to be queen, but had the funeral of a monarch.
Mm.
And you think, okay, looking at her chart, looking at the fact that there was a possibility of escaping that destiny, but you had to use your free will and get out of your moon, which she didn't, bless her. I was thinking Charles II.
Okay.
He was king.
Yeah.
Never got his royal funeral, did he? Because there was obviously something that meant she needed to have a royal funeral.
Wow.
I don't know. That's what
intriguing
I love.
Thought.
I love to discuss these things and go, well, maybe. What if she was someone like Mary, Queen of Scots? And that is entirely possible.
Yeah. Okay. I love it that you're doing that as well. I do that. The saying things out loud to like taste them on your tongue and sense them in the air to see if they're still true when you say them out loud, because inside your head they make sense. And sometimes when you say them out loud, you're like, oh, okay, that's crap.
Yes.
But equally, sometimes you're, Wow, yes.
Yes, oh, there might be something in there, or it's crap, but there's a kernel of something. Yes. Yeah. And I would like to add here that I don't believe that it's a good idea to go into reincarnation to discover you were a previous king or queen. Because you almost certainly weren't, because there have been so many Cleopatras.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you look at it in another very, very mechanistic and silly way, but also a kind of plausible way in some ways, is that there are so many more people around now. If matter is never destroyed, it is only transformed, then maybe hundreds of thousands of us have a speck of Cleopatra in us.
Yes.
Because there is only one of her amongst maybe, I'm absolutely making these numbers up, they're definitely rubbish, but if there were 2 million people alive then, and there are 70 million people alive now, that's an awful lot thinner spread of all the bits of Cleopatra.
Yeah.
So
yes, all the physical bits of Cleopatra, anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who equally might be, you know, calmly sitting in as sand in the desert now, but it kind of also could be, even though.
Well, the mystical teaching is we're not all down yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still first timers coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talked about this before, because that it's very difficult for first time souls to come into a city. Because you can't learn respect for the land.
Oh, okay.
So the Kabbalistic teaching is that most of us are down, but we've got another couple of hundred years of people coming down. And one of the reasons why everything's speeding up and everything is so blah is because obviously we're focusing on technology, and we think we've got the food thing sorted, which of course is like jumping off a cliff and saying how much fun it is before you hit the ground. But oh, look, I'm flying. Oh, that wonderful. Oh yeah, it's marvelous, it's marvelous. But if for a first time soul on a planet, if you're going to continue coming down on the planet, the first thing you've got to do is learn how to live on the planet, which is how to feed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have these indigenous cultures left anymore for first time souls to come to. So they come down into cities, and we've got these natural patterns of needing certain rituals. You know, in the Serengeti, they'll still take the young people out to teach them to hunt. And there are still rituals like leaving somebody out to see if they'll survive the night.
Mm.
You know, they got what it takes. And we still need these, which is why
of course we
have kids going out nicking things like cars and burning them, because you need to have your gang. You've got to have something.
You need your rituals.
There you
was
need
an
your
amazing
rituals.
Amazing book written, oh God, when my kids were very small. And I'm sad to say I can't fish out the title right now, but it was a real exploration of how desperately our young people need ceremony, basically, and need the marking of time to turn them into proper adults. And that without initiations, basically, which we would have gone through initiations, and Indigenous peoples, I think, all do have their initiations. And without them, we don't become proper adults. And so, you know, that completely explains our culture, basically.
Yes.
We're a bunch of not proper adults running around.
We're a bunch of big kids, So not good kids in that respect.
Yeah. I just have remembered that you asked me to tell you secondary sexuality.
Oh, secondary sexual characteristics. This is just a theory. My theory.
Okay.
Which is mine.
Do
you remember that from Monty
Python? I certainly do, yes.
Anne Elk.
By Anne Elk, brackets, Miss brackets.
About the brontosaurus.
Indeed.
Very important.
Which is thin, thin, thin at one end. Much, much, much thicker in the middle. And thin, thin, thin again at the other end.
Oh, you've given away the whole theory without saying it's that important to us. Right, secondary sexual characteristics. I have noticed this, and I've noticed things. I'm one of these awkward people who notice these things when they study things, which you think, oh, I'm going to talk about that. I wonder if it's real.
Mm.
I don't know. It's that when you are attracted to people according to the patterns, and science calls it chemistry, but it's actually the patterns of Mars and Venus and or what you need to challenge and fulfill you. But one of the things that turns you on is to do with the placing of your Venus in a chart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you actually want to attract somebody, you could find out where their Venus is placed and emphasise that part of your body.
Oh, if that's not witchcraft, Maggie Whitehouse, what is?
I know! But that's exactly why you there are all these injunctions against learning these kind of things, because I know that when I came into this kind of teaching, I didn't have any of the discipline or self-knowledge to go, oops.
Mm.
And I did use it once.
To good effect?
Very good effect. Extremely good effect. And you want me to tell you the story? Names shall be changed?
Go on.
Okay. Many, 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 many years ago, at the time of the dot-com crash, I was, for reasons we won't go into, I had become an internet startup chief executive.
Really?
Yes, for a holistic health website called GoWithin.com. And then the dot-com crash happened. And I was part of a venture capital company which had, in theory, funded us.
Mm.
But, of course, all their money was going away. And they called in this American guy who was a top CEO from other companies to try and save their company. And he was a really lovely guy. We needed a certain amount of money to keep our company going. We were very realistic. We knew that we weren't going to get the funding now. We weren't going to. What we really wanted was a year to get ourselves straight and get to other jobs. Yeah. So it was very down to earth, terrain, and practical, which is how can we stick with them? How can we get them to pay us enough money so that we can do what we can to take care of ourselves, really, which was very selfish. But this guy comes over. He obviously found me vaguely attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband had left me 3 months earlier. So I was still feeling like an old mattress thrown out on the street.
Yeah.
You know? So somebody who looked at you and didn't think you were an old mattress thrown out on the street was kind of nice. He was married. I had no intention of having an affair, but we needed the money. And one of the things he did was he started having supper with each of the chief executives of the internet startup companies they'd funded to talk to them, to find out about their company and obviously find out if he was going to give them what money there was left. And I managed to find out, and I can't remember by what nefarious means, when his birthday was. And he was an Aquarian. And his Venus was also in Aquarius. Now, Aquarius is lower legs and electric blue. So I wore an electric blue shirt and cowboy boots. Now, that sounds really ridiculous, but he was from Colorado. So I wore the colour that immediately his psyche went, what a colour.
Yeah.
And it's fortunately a colour I can wear.
Mm.
And on the legs, okay, you can just say, well, you could have just worn the cowboy boots anyway. But why would you wear cowboy boots on what was effectively, in my intention, a kind of a date?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't usually wear cowboy boots. You wouldn't wear trousers and
cowboy boots. I'm kind of surprised with the cowboy boots. I thought you were going to say your highest heels and your shortest skirt.
No, he was a cowboy.
Right.
But that's how you use the magic, you see. You've got the... God, I'm telling you how to use the magic. But anyway, by the end of the dinner, the wonderful thing was we were absolutely crazy about each other. I don't know if it was destined or something. And we never did anything inopportune or anything like that. We had two kisses, which was wicked and evil and absolutely delicious. He made me feel beautiful. He actually believed in me. He believed in the company. He funded us for a year. Just to the extent so we could pay our rents and get another job. So that was...
were harmed in the making of this movie.
No, and oddly enough, and I probably shouldn't tell this story, he was a Republican. Sorry about that. But anyway, and he was very anti-Bill Clinton, who had the alleged issue with... Not the issue with my
That's an unfortunate slip of the tongue.
Yeah, or not the issue with money. Anyway, and he was very snotty about him because this man had been faithful to his wife the whole of his life.
Mm.
And he did say to me the last time we met, he said, I have to thank you because this has made me a better man because I now understand why Bill Clinton did what he did.
Wow.
He said, just because we haven't doesn't mean to say I can't understand the level of the temptation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
good
if you,
for him.
Yeah.
Big man.
But and don't you, isn't that lovely to see that even a little bit of magic that was really purely selfish turned out for good, which was marvellous.
Yeah. I would just like to celebrate with invisible champagne and imaginary cake the, from my perspective, utterly hilarious fact that on this, our birthday edition, the vicar is teaching the witch how to do magic. That's fucking funny. Wah-ha-ha is all I can say.
You have corrupted me, exactly, woman. You have won.
Successfully corrupted in a totally good way.
Notice that interesting bonfire-shaped thing out there in the car.
No, you can't get me. Locked downstairs, I'm safe. Oh, God.
Now, the bonfire in your garden, which Fergus is doing right now.
Fergus would never put me on a bonfire.
No, he'd put you on a pedestal, maybe. But not a bonfire. No,
he really wouldn't do that either.
No, that was just a clever bit of voice of wordplay, but no, he wouldn't, would he?
No, bless him. Much too realistic.
Oh, so shall we just return briefly to our eagle before closing down, because we've got 5 more minutes. We should have stopped there. That would have been the peak moment, but we didn't. I'm actually finding an awful lot of this eagle stuff to be a bit sort of, so that's me being arrogant, isn't it?
Well, it's just you not being interested in eagle stuff.
I suppose though you should be, because you're Scorpio. Scorpio is...
Why would Scorpio be Scorpio?
Eagle in Scorpio in exaltation is referred to as the eagle.
Scorpio in what?
Exaltation.
What does that mean?
In its power, in its full... In, with all the houses and good places and everything like that.
Is referred to as...
The eagle Scorpio, yes. The most spiritual of all.
That's hilarious. Okay.
So you can be scuttling under stones or flying over the whole of the earth.
No, I found that really intriguing, just because the eagle, as in of Gwenarby, is the kind of mythical creature who holds the above in my healing temple.
Yeah.
I had absolutely no idea it was in any way related to Scorpioness.
Yeah. Patterns of the universe.
Patterns of the universe. Can't help yourself.
No, afraid we can't really.
Okay. No, so for me, the eagle is all about the expansiveness of the big vision that you get from being up there, and the capacity to hone in on that one thing.
Yes.
And fuck-yong.
Yes.
Get it.
Yes. And that, the moment of the decision to plummet.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's weight, huge patience, all the hawks, isn't it? Well, all the hunters. Huge patience.
And huge skill
to
know, to understand exactly the moment when... I don't know, Mousy turns his back and he's not going to see you coming or whatever. And also the metaphor, but the reality of the extraordinary clarity of that vision.
Yes.
From so far away with such a huge scope possible to be able to find
one
tiny movement amongst an enormous landscape, hone in on it, know that it's good food and not. And, to be able to dive down and hone in on that. And, oh, that we could be so precise in our seeing.
Yes. Yes, and that reminds me of a lovely saying by Esther Hicks as Abraham, is that the job is to focus on what it is that you want to create. Life is like a buffet. If you want the cheese, then go for the cheese. But do not tell them that anybody else that they can't have the radishes. Mm. Because just because you don't like radishes doesn't mean to say that radishes shouldn't be on that buffet.
Yeah.
And you'd completely dissipate your energy by spending all your time going, don't want radishes, the radishes are wrong. Shouldn't have radishes, I want radishes banned. Which is exactly what humanity does about so many things.
Mm.
Because I want my cheese and I don't like radishes. Nobody should have radishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if were that generosity to be founded upon an understanding of our indivisibility and interwovenness and our need for respect and reciprocity, the more beautiful world, just like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good place to end, methinks.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Lovely to see you. Can't wait to actually see you.
Can't wait to share cake.
Yes.
We'll have to take a photograph of us stuffing cake into each other's mouths. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.